It's Wednesday, September 21st, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, accomplishments and admonishments voiced at the annual United Nations Gathering of World Leaders. Debating U.S. presidential politics, the top candidates are about to directly face each other.
Edward Snowden's contribution to human rights in the last few years really can't be overstated.
Patriot or criminal, Edward Snowden, the topic on our hashtag VOA program. And what's old is new in music. It's all on today's International Edition. In his final address at the United Nations, President Barack Obama reiterated his strong commitment to multilateralism and the world body. Mr. Obama, who will leave office in January, spoke of progress during his eight-year tenure.
We've taken away terrorist safe havens, strengthened the non-proliferation regime, resolved the Iranian nuclear issue through diplomacy. We opened relations with Cuba, helped Colombia, and end Latin America's longest war. And we welcome a democratically elected leader of Myanmar to this assembly. Our assistance is helping people feed themselves, care for the sick, power communities across Africa, and promote models of development rather than dependence. And we have made international institutions like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund more representative while establishing a framework to protect our planet from the ravages of climate change.
On the crisis in Syria, Mr. Obama said there is no ultimate military victory to be won, and he said a diplomatic solution must be pursued. And in a preview of the leaders' summit he is hosting Tuesday afternoon at the United Nations, he urged countries to do more for refugees. Mr. Obama, who will leave office in January, spoke of progress during his eight-year tenure, including reducing extreme poverty, resolving the Iranian nuclear issue, opening relations with Cuba, and agreeing to an international deal on climate change. He said it's important work, it's made real difference in the lives of our people, and it could not have happened had we not worked together. Mr. Obama warned that there are deep fault lines, however, in the international order, causing the massive refugee crisis, economic disruptions, and insecurity. He said, "We see too many governments muzzling journalists and quashing dissent and censoring the flow of information." And he said, "Terrorist networks use social media to prey upon the minds of our youth, endangering open societies and spurring anger against innocent immigrants and Muslims." Mr. Obama went on to say powerful nations contest the constraints placed on them by international law. He says this is the paradox that defines our world today. More on the crisis in Syria, he said there is no ultimate military victory to be won, and he said a diplomatic solution must be pursued. He also warned that, quote, the embers of extremism will continue to burn in the world, but that all the world is too small for us to simply be able to build a wall and prevent it from affecting society. In addition, the U.S. leader took aim at Russia for its interference in Ukraine and at North Korea for its defiance of the international community on the nuclear front. And in a preview of his leaders' summit, he said, imagine what it would be like for our family, our children, if the unspeakable happened to us. The United Nations gathering is continuing in New York, and there is much more on our website at voanews.com. It's time for us now to turn to our social media segment. And for that, G. Abby Lee joins us here in Studio 22 for what's trending online. Hello, G.
Hi, Jim. The biggest trending story on social media Tuesday was the Brangelina breakup. Fans of actors Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are expressing sadness over the end of one of the most high-profile celebrity marriages in America. And one of the most liked tweets is by actor Keegan Allen. He tweeted, "Yo, if hashtag Brangelina can't stay together, there's no hope for anyone, SMH." That stands for shaking my head. Around 4,000 people liked it.
Well, what else are people saying about this epic breakup?
Jim, the Twitter sphere is flooded with memes and GIFs featuring Jennifer Aniston. The actress was married to Pitt for a few years until he met Jolie on a movie set and fell in love with her. So people are using pictures and videos of Aniston laughing and saying she has a last laugh. I don't know if you know this already, but she got remarried last year, so she also found her love again. So it makes sense that another popular tweet is this. A relationship that started from cheating should not be your definition of hashtag relationship goals. Yes, I'm talking to you, hashtag Brangelina people. But some people are also saying, although many of the Brangelina tweets are quite funny, we should also remember there are children involved in the divorce. And as you may know, they do have several kids together.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Both biological and adopted children from around the globe.
Right.
Well, what else happens to be trending?
Well, let's stay with the topic of high-profile female. This time, Amal Clooney, who is a human rights lawyer and wife of American actor George Clooney. She's trending because media outlets are highlighting her comment at the UN General Assembly taking place in New York on criticizing the international body for letting ISIS get away with murder. Many people are applauding her for speaking up, but there are some people who argue that she is a hypocrite because they're not in favor of her husband's open support for Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. They believe Clinton's plan for beating ISIS is not effective, and they support Trump's plan. That's all for me today, Jim.
Great wrap-up. Thank you so much, G. You can follow us both on Twitter, first at our overall Twitter stream for International Edition. That's at VOA_IE. And on our individual accounts, I'm at VOA Stevenson, and G. Abby Lee is, imagine this, at G. Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia. Philippine president to work with U.S. military despite threats. Chinese company under scrutiny for evading North Korean sanctions. Australia defends tough immigration policies at United Nations Refugee Summit. India launches first internet hotline to tackle surge in child porn. Solar scale-up in Pakistan hits roadblock after payments slashed. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more at the voanews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. The road to the White House has led us to the first of three presidential debates starting next week. Both Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump have been reacting to security issues following the recent explosions in New York and New Jersey. VOA senior national correspondent Jim Malone joins us to talk more about that and more.
That's right. National security has jumped back into the forefront for sure, with what's gone on in New York and New Jersey over the past few days and the attack in Minnesota. So clearly the candidates have been focused on that of late, and each are emphasizing the themes we've heard them talk about before. For Hillary Clinton, it's her steady leadership, her experience in foreign policy and dealing with threats to the U.S. And for Donald Trump, it's his emphasis on immigration, the need, he believes, to target people, almost profile, if you will, certain suspects, and to try to keep the country safe that way. So they're each trying to play to their strengths on this issue, and it's sure to come up in the debates, I would think, near the very top, because it is so fresh in the public's mind.
Donald Trump has talked about guns, even attacking Hillary Clinton on her stand on guns and making some controversial comments about her Secret Service detail.
Yeah, again, you know, we're getting used to Trump saying things that people take a moment and say, did he really say that? The controversial statements don't really last that long because people are getting used to Trump saying such crazy things. I do wonder if we're going to see greater focus from the media here in the final weeks of the campaign, trying to hold both candidates accountable. Now, they've been doing this all through the campaign. This is the time when you have to motivate your base to get out. It looks like it's going to be one of those elections where whichever base is more motivated could help carry the day. That's why we've seen in some of the latest polls, Trump closed the gap with Clinton nationally and also in certain key states, places like Ohio and Florida, Iowa, North Carolina. The margin is getting closer. In some states, Trump is maybe moved a tick ahead. If his supporters can stay motivated, that could mean something on Election Day in terms of turnout.
And with the polls so tight, how do the third-party candidates figure into this?
Increasingly, they are going to be a factor, because even if they only take a few percentage points, say, in some key states, it could tip the balance one way or the other. We've seen this before in 2000. The candidacy of Ralph Nader didn't generate much nationally, but in a key state like Florida, he got thousands of votes, votes that otherwise might have gone to someone like Al Gore, the Democrat who lost to George W. Bush by 537 votes. So, yes, this is going to be an issue. And now we see the Clinton camp in particular focusing on younger people who may be tempted to vote for the independent libertarian candidate Gary Johnson or the Green Party candidate Jill Stein, trying to get them to focus on what the real stakes are in the election, the danger in the Clinton view posed by Trump, and trying to get those people to come out for her.
Always uncontested in our polls is Jim Malone, our senior national correspondent. Jim, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Three of the most prominent human rights groups in the West have launched a new campaign to urge President Obama to pardon Edward Snowden. He, of course, is the former National Security Agency contractor behind the massive leak of information about U.S. surveillance programs back in 2013. The rights groups timed their appeal to coincide with last week's U.S. release of a new Hollywood film. It's titled Snowden. The film and the appeal were the topic of conversation on our hashtag VOA TV show today. And host Michael Lippin is right here with me in Studio 22. Michael, how did that conversation go?
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot. Well, my co-host Andrew Polchevsky and I led a lively debate with our panel about Snowden's image and the impact of his leaks. The film portrays Snowden as a hero trying to expose what he sees as mass privacy abuses being committed by U.S. intelligence agencies. One of our studio panelists was Bradley Moss. He's a U.S. attorney who specializes in national security and has actually been critical of Snowden. We also were joined from our New York studio by Dinah Prokempner of Human Rights Watch, which is one of the groups behind the campaign to get a pardon for Snowden. I asked Prokempner why Snowden's case was so important to her and her organization.
Edward Snowden's contribution to human rights in the last few years really can't be overstated. Not only did he expose the broad overreach of various U.S. surveillance programs, he really opened the door on practices of mass surveillance going on in many countries. And because of this, there have been legislative movements all over Europe as well as the United States. There have been lawsuits filed. There's a tremendous public debate. Various administrative agencies have changed what they're doing. But I think most important, we all realize now how exposed we are when we go on digital platforms. We have become aware of the huge cloud of digital evidence that we leave behind us that governments are collecting, and we've begun to demand greater security from governments and companies.
And our Andrew Polchevsky would like to jump in here. Andrew.
Dinah, you mentioned the human rights element, but a lot of people look at this as a national or international security story. How do you use social media or things like this Pardon Snowden campaign to show people this human rights angle?
Well, we publish very continuously on these issues. I think one of the most important things that happened in the wake of Snowden's revelations was a huge international conversation on whistleblowers and how whistleblowers can actually advance not only rights, but national security. Protecting privacy, freedom of expression, having appropriate channels to expose wrongdoing, this is critical to democratic societies. And it's part of how we think of national security as well.
Bradley Moss in our DC studio here. What do you think about what Dinah said about the importance of whistleblowers? Where does Edward Snowden fit into that?
Whistleblowers, especially in the national security community, are extremely important. And it would have been nice and great if Edward Snowden had used what was available to him. You know, we're having this discussion, you know, possibly the idea of additional whistleblower reforms. But Edward Snowden didn't use any of it.
Well, what was available to him?
So anyone, either a contractor or a government civilian at the time, could have still gone to the Inspector General of NSA, of the Defense Department, could have gone to specific members of Congress, could have gone to the House or Senate Intelligence Committees to raise specific concerns. They could have come to an attorney, which Edward Snowden never did before he made his leaks. They could have gone to an attorney to seek guidance on how to get the information out lawfully. There were means to write books through proper pre-publication review to try to get the information declassified. We could have tried to bring a lawsuit with Snowden as a John Doe complainant to try to challenge some of these programs, the domestic surveillance programs. Snowden didn't do any of that. Now, he will say, and there's an element of legitimacy, well, there were no protections from retaliation. That's true. But not everyone actually gets retaliated against. And this is where it gets very vague and they gloss over the issues. Have there been issues of retaliation? Yes. But if you do what Snowden did, you're guaranteeing yourself criminal charges.
Well, for more of that conversation, you can watch the full show on voanews.com/#VOA or at my Facebook profile, Michael.Lippin. Jim, back to you.
Thank you so much, Michael, and much more on Edward Snowden, to be sure. This story will be continuing, but great information on our #VOA program. I urge you to take a look. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com. Online news for a changing world.
This is VOA's International Edition. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins Sarah Williams to talk about an old song that's been given a new and timely update.
Well, the subject today is a song with a social message, and it's an old song given a new spin. The song is called Where Is the Love? You may know the Black Eyed Peas from the many, many hits they had about 10, 15 years ago. Well, will.i.am is back, and he's assembled quite a cast of other artists, not only musicians, but also actors and actresses, to join in a song that is very timely. In fact, will.i.am, who is the founder of the Black Eyed Peas and the guy who's producing this song, said that I thought about Paris and the terrorist attacks in Paris, and I thought to myself, we need Where Is the Love? He said, and then came Belgium, Turkey, Orlando, Dallas, he said, so I decided it was time to bring this song back. Originally a big hit for the Black Eyed Peas in 2003, now we have the 2016 version of Where Is the Love, which has not only incorporated the original members of the Black Eyed Peas, Taboo, Apt to Apt, Fergie, and will.i.am, but has also included Justin Timberlake, Jamie Foxx, P. Diddy, Mary J. Blige, Nicole Scherzinger, Usher, and quite a few famous actors and sports figures like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Rosario Dawson, and the list goes on and on. And all of these celebrities have joined in for the video. The song is available as a download only, and all the profits and money raised by the sale of this particular song will be going to will.i.am's nonprofit foundation called Angel, which is helping children with educational programs around the world.
It sounds like an all-star production.
It is a great production, and I think we should listen to it.
Where is the love?
People killing, people dying. Children hurting, I hear them crying. Can you practice what you preaching?
Well, Larry, certainly there have been so many awful incidents just within the last year alone. And we're also here in this country, we're heading into, it sounds like, a pretty divisive presidential political season. So, and there's concerns, there are recent bombings in New York and New Jersey. People are on edge.
Yes, and it's a timely message in a song that people in the United States and many around the world know. In fact, when this new version of Where's the Love came out about a week ago, it debuted at number one in many countries around the world. So obviously the world is very interested in the message, just as we here in America are as well. And it's the Black Eyed Peas' latest social attempt to wake us up and remind us we need some love. Where is the love?
All right, thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
Where's the love? Yeah. What's going on with the world, mama?
Where's the love?
Yeah. People living like they ain't got no mama.
Where's the love?
I think they're all distracted by the drama and attracted to the trouble.
Always great to hear new versions of old songs and see what the artists do with them. You know, there's a new version of International Edition 3 times a day. Yeah, that's right. So come back and listen to more International Edition when you have a chance. You can also find us at our website, voanews.com. Like us on Facebook at VOA Now. And be sure to follow our Twitter stream at VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Dan Crafton. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. Have a great day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Indonesian Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, MMAF, and the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, recently partnered to bring a team of 7 experts from the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to provide training to Indonesian officials from the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Customs, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and managers from the major Indonesian fishing ports in Manado on how to implement effective port state measures. This follows Indonesia's ratification of the 2009 Agreement on Port State Measures to Prevent, Deter, and Eliminate Illegal, Unreported, and Unregulated Fishing. 31 countries, including Indonesia, as well as the European Union, have become party to the agreement, which entered into force globally on June 5, 2016. In 2015, MMAF estimated that annual losses from illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing cost Indonesia's economy approximately $20 billion each year. Port state measures entail conducting port inspections of fishing vessels that are suspected of being engaged in illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing in order to prevent their fish products from landing in ports. The training consists of both classroom and hands-on practice to stimulate boarding of vessels suspected of illegal activity. It also sets the stage for curriculum development and further training by the Indonesian government that will cascade these skills to all port officials working in Indonesia's 5 designated major fishing ports: Samudera Bungos in West Sumatra, Samudera Nisam Zakman in Jakarta, Samudera Bitung in North Sulawesi, Nusantara Ambon in Maluku, and Nusantara Pelabuhan Ratu in West Java. Through USAID, the United States contributes $39 million to help the Indonesian government protect and manage 7 million hectares of ocean and coastal resources. The United States is proud to support Indonesia's efforts to combat illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, said Chargé d'Affaires Brian McPheeters. Illegal fishing steals billions of dollars worth of resources from Indonesia's waters each year, hurting those who play by the rules, including tens of thousands of Indonesians who support their families by fishing responsibly and legally. Illegal fishing also undermines efforts to conserve and manage shared fish stocks and threatens the sustainability of all fisheries.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.